Zion Wonchimson. Patrick.
Stealing bricks.
Nah, Morant. Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Fan Levitard Show, the fastest growing Dan Levitard Show fan YouTube channel. We are joined today with the one and only Miles Ehrlich, the man who took the now famous air ball missed around the world. Amin El Hassan's jumper, we've got him, folks, and we're going to get to the bottom of that. But first, Miles, could you introduce yourself, sir?
Sure. So I'm Miles Ehrlich. I'm a WNBA reporter. So I happened to be down at Athletes Unlimited last weekend covering Athletes Unlimited AU Pro Sports, which had a celebrity game, which is what Amin was participating in. Amin and Ben Lyons, who has done some stuff with Levitard as well. Ben put together the event. I mostly cover the Liberty out of New York, but I was down there in Dallas for this, and I was lucky enough to be sitting courtside for that warm-up, so I was able to catch Amin in all his glory.
Yes, and glorious it was. It spread around the internet quite a bit. Is that your most popular tweet? Have you ever had a tweet go that viral?
No, absolutely not. And as a big fan of the Levitard Show, it was kind of funny and surreal for that to be how I heard my name on the program, was in reference to that shot. And I've been a fan for over a decade of the show. But it was kind of a perfect, and then to hear my name mentioned with a women's basketball pun on top of that was kind of a perfect lane for me to be in. But yeah, nothing ever like that to that extreme before.
Yeah, absolutely. So this took place at the celebrity game for AU Pro Basketball. Could you tell me a little bit, like, what is AU Pro Basketball?
Sure. Yeah, this is actually the third year of this basketball league. It started as an opportunity for WNBA players who wanted to stay stateside instead of going overseas. It's a shorter season, the W season. It goes from May to about September, October. So a lot of times players are supplementing their income by going overseas, but that's really not for everyone. Mm-hmm. So AU is an opportunity for players to stay here, but it's also a very like different and cool scoring structure. It almost feels like fantasy sports. Everybody has their own individual stats. Like you hit a three and you get plus 30 points. You miss a jumper and you get minus 10. And there's a shifting leaderboard. And every week, the top four players, the top four scorers are the captains and they redraft. So it's a very different structure, but it's a lot of fun. And it's a great way to see the players kind of in their element and experimenting with stuff that you might not be able to see when they're on a roster with a dozen people. So I love it.
Yeah, I looked into the league when I saw like Amin's, he'd mentioned he was going to be at the celebrity game and then his jumper went viral. And I was like, okay, how do I make content out of this? But then I was like, is this another bit by Amin? And so what I did, I went searching for like, did they broadcast the celebrity game? Because I saw you can watch the games in the WNBA app. It's even on, like, I think one game a week is on ESPN Plus. It's Bally Sports Plus also. So I went digging to find like gameplay of the celebrity. I couldn't find any gameplay. There's a picture of Amin doing a finger roll. But I did start digging and learning about the league. And I'm like, wow, this is actually like really well thought out and like really smart. Because as I was learning about it, I was like, so there's no team champion, it's an individual champion, which is interesting for that. And then my first thought actually was like, I wonder if every week they change the teams, because that would be another interesting layer that you could like throw on top of it. Like it's personal people playing, but what if you change the teams every week and you have to, with this new team, still find a way to like play, use your skill set with different, you know, types of players every week. And sure enough, I was like, wow, they actually draft like every single week. And then, you know, the teams play each other all. And I was like, that's really interesting. And I do want to get to whether or not Amin's shot was real or not, because I have questions there. But first, I do want to dig a little bit more into like the league and what it's doing.
Sure, sure. So yeah, what I was going to say is that AU has four different sports that it plays also. So it's the same format where it's the same redraft structure, weekly redraft structure, but they also have women's volleyball, women's softball, and mm-hmm. women's lacrosse. Okay. So all year round, they just cycle in, and they've got this ESPN Plus partnership, and the W has partnered with them on the basketball side. But it's fascinating to watch because the competition is really high, mm-hmm. but at the same time, if somebody goes hard to the rim and gets knocked down, you'll see like nine players coming over to help her up because could be your teammate in mm-hmm. 3 days. So
yeah, that's really interesting.
It's got like a kind of an AAU vibe almost because the players finish their games and then they go and sit courtside and watch the next one, and they're heckling the players that are on the court, but they're watching the scoreboard, which has like a ticker that is updating in real time for where everyone is on the leaderboard. But yeah, you see players climb, and some of them don't want to go too high because they don't want to be a captain and split up their mini little dynasty that they're putting together. but it's a completely player run. Each team has a facilitator, which is like a former player or an assistant coach from the W, but all of the substitutions and stuff in game are made by the captain on the floor. And there are player challenges and things like that. So mm-hmm. it's a very, very different kind of brand of basketball, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a whole nother layer. I didn't even like realize that the players are coach. So there's no like head coach there. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Is there who in the league do you think you would say Amin's game is most similar to, or do you not want to insult any of the players?
No, yeah, I can't do that. I can't. I mean, I can probably name some other media members that I think would have a similar game to Amin, but I don't think anyone. The W is 144 spots, and it needs to be much larger. So there's nobody in the league that is shooting that kind of backwards air ball, pizza pie throw, whatever he was doing.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to think of like NBA player comps because that's what I'm the most familiar. And honestly, all I could think of was it's the most similar to some of my fourth grade students who I teach and go play basketball with during PE is what I'll say. That's probably the most comparable thing is seeing a fourth grader attempt to shoot a three. That's what I could come up with when I tried.
I did see the Joakim Noah free throw circulating, the one where he was on the Knicks and shot that weird spiraling UFO that got nowhere close to the rim. I saw that one a couple of times.
So you write for the Winsider, and you also have a mm-hmm. podcast where you have players each week from AU Pro Basketball, or however often you do it. Who was the last player that you guys interviewed?
Yeah, so last week we had on Haley Jones. She plays for the Atlanta Dream in the WNBA season. She previously was at Stanford and won a national championship with them in 2021. She's also a podcaster, so she's one of those, that generation of players that is kind of doing it all, which is awesome. And yeah, AU has been great to us. We've had a partnership and we've had one or two players on each week. And then in the W season, we get players on from all over the place. We've had media members on, some writers. Kate Fagan was one of our early episodes when she was coming out with her book last year mm-hmm. about women's basketball. So it's been a great time and a great way for us to be in this space and kind of share some of these stories. So it's Pull Up with Miles and Owen. So my buddy Owen Pence and I have been doing that since I think February of last year.
Yeah, fun fact, I actually have two copies of Kate's book. I bought it and then she did one where it's autographed, so I actually have an autographed copy of that someday reach out to Kate and hopefully get her on this podcast and then find a way to raffle off the signed edition there. But I've enjoyed going through that, reading about that. Her book's really interesting. So I do want to jump in and get a question here about Amin. What prompted you to like, hey, I should take out my phone and record this?
So yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of the show, have been for a long time, and just seeing Amin there in person was really cool. So I was like, all right, let me just see what's going on here. And then I was sitting courtside and I said, all right, let me take out my phone, see what's happening. He actually hit, I think it was one or two, I think it was two shots in a row. The form was a little bit off to me, but I'm like, all right, let me take a video. I mean, if it means making buckets, whatever works, right? I'm not going to criticize as long as it's going in. And then it just happened to be that the shot that I got was maybe, I don't know what was happening there, but maybe the worst shot he's taken. He says that he doesn't normally shoot like that. I don't know that I was seeing a whole bunch go in. I did see a couple. But yeah, he came at us right after the game with all those excuses already lined up. So I don't know. He was on top of it.
Yes, he did have quite the extensive list of excuses, one of which being Ramadan and fasting. But I don't know if fasting makes your fingers bend the way they did. There's some very bizarre aspects to that shot. And I put a couple pictures here in the chat, and I want to see, like, what was your favorite moment of Amin's jump shot here. I've got four photos here. One at the beginning where his left hand, his support hand, is already doing something weird and bending the wrong direction here. There's the, you know, it's just leaving his hand, follow-through's looking weird. But I actually captured two photos that I think look even more bizarre that didn't get circulated, and it's well after his follow through where, like, he's got one finger pointing up and like two fingers going out of bounds, and as he starts to go down, it doesn't even look like a hand anymore. So what do you think is your favorite moment from his jump shot?
Billy pointed out on the show the other day that his footwork is bizarre. His feet are
Yes.
pointing in different directions. It's also just an incredibly long load for a jump shot too. So he takes a little while to kind of, I guess he was waiting for the wind to go in the right direction and try to get a feel for it. But he yeah, it's how long it takes him to get into that pose, and then it seems like he's taking a breath, and then just 100 moving parts all at the same time. So I think, yeah, it's the fingers going in the opposite direction that you would expect them to go in. And in his defense, I do of if I had to rank the excuses that he gave us, because he came over to us post game, and I was with my friend Christina Williams, who Amin knows, and she's the one that posted his rebuttal to the video. In his defense, it is different to get a feel for the women's ball. It is lighter. I don't know if that's what happens though. If I don't think you try a finger roll from three pointer. I don't think
No.
it's that much of a I don't think it's that much of a difference.
There's
But
the
yeah.
it just it doesn't it boggles the mind to look at this of where personally my favorite photo. It's the third one I've sent to you. It's the third one on our YouTube channel also. It's the ball's well released there. And what's just so bizarre, like, he's got the one finger that's up, two fingers are pointing sideways out of bounds. Like, that's no follow through like I've ever like seen it. Like, it's supposed to reach your hand into the cookie jar is like your follow through, right? Is what I've always been taught. I don't know where the cookie jar is for him, but it's not where I normally put my cookie jar. And what's bizarre, like, his hand is going out of bounds, but somehow the ball like sails the opposite direction his fingers go. And then you can also see the footwork aspect there at the bottom of that Billy's talking about, where like one foot the toes are landing, the other foot his heel is landing. So it's just all over the place, which makes me wonder, like, was Amin, is this a fake shot? By, I mean, did he pull you aside, hey, take a video of this, it's gonna go viral and stuff? And I don't want you to answer that yet. That'll be our next question. I want to swing back though and play a little game with you before I'm gonna ask that you answer that question, if it was fake or real, because I don't put anything past Amin at this point in his theater of the mind. But I have a game for you of three takes, and you got to tell me if they're bold or spicy in honor of Amin's oddball with Charlotte Wilder. 4 days a week, not on Mondays. Three takes here. Alicia Taylor is having the best season in AU pro basketball history. She currently leads the league with over, she's the only one over 5,000 points is it the best season in AU pro basketball history? Bold or spicy?
So Alisha Gray, not Taylor, but Alisha Gray has been totally fine. Alisha Gray has been phenomenal. She had a couple of near 40-point games last week, and she's an Olympic gold medalist. She won in the 3-on-3 a few years ago. So this is just a perfect style because it kind of marries team play with this just downhill, because I think players just settle in offensively because you're just playing ball, but defensively it's harder to help and scheme because you're only playing together for a week. So the players that can really go to the paint and get to the rim like Alisha can, I think, have an advantage over everybody else. And she just had the most points in an AU week that have ever been had before. So yeah, Big Al, yeah, she is having the best season that we've seen from a hooper. But there, last year we did see we saw a 50 piece last year, but it's been in years past mostly the forwards and the centers that have the advantage. But for a guard, by far, Alisha Gray is having the best campaign we've ever seen at AU.
Natasha Cloud can win it all with a big week this week. Bold or spicy?
That's spicy just because of how good Alisha Gray is playing. Natasha Cloud, there's a lot of distance for her to make up, and it's so awesome to see her in her element. She is one of the best point guards in the WNBA, but she's always a facilitator. She's always passing the ball. And then at AU, she's just a very, very different dynamic kind of scorer. So it's really cool to see that side of her game. But she also, last year, one of my favorite games to cover was the Liberty's first round playoff game. Game two against Natasha Cloud was on the Mystics at the time. And Sabrina Ionescu had scored a whole bunch of points in game one. And then Tosh made it her mission to just shut Sab down in that game two. And she did. She really held her, she held her to like 10, 12 points or something like that after Sab had close to 30 in game one. And they ended up losing at the very end and the Liberty moved on. But Tosh is just one of the most charismatic, hard on your sleeve athletes that I've ever seen. So to see her kind of in this space is awesome because she's just uplifting everyone around her. But yeah, I think that's got to be spicy just because Big Al might have it wrapped up already.
And last take here, bold or spicy, Team Gray will go undefeated this week.
I think that's spicy. The first couple of weeks, Alisha Gray's teams went 5-1. And then I think they might have been 1-2 last week. And it was because Odyssey Sims, who's the other guard who plays really well, her team went 3-0. So I think just because the talent is spread so evenly throughout these guards, they're kind of canceling each other out a little bit and taking turns. But it is championship week. So I think everyone's going to have a little bit extra. This is the final week of AU. And I think we're going to see 2-1s, 1-2s. It's going to be tight games all throughout the week.
Okay, moment of truth here. Hand to God, you got to be honest. Did Amin El-Hassan approach you and say, hey, I'm about to do something funky here. Get this shot, post it, and buddy, let me tell you, it's going to blow up. Is the jump shot real or is it a bit, Miles?
I did not meet Amin until after the game. So this is 100% real. I was actually sitting next to my friend Christina, but also Tarika Foster Brasby, who worked with Amin at ESPN. And T is one of my favorite people in the world because she is maybe the worst influence of anybody that I've ever met in the best way possible. So I took this video and I showed it to Tarika, and she said, you better post that immediately. If you don't post that, send that to me because I will post that. And I put it up and she immediately texts Juju, and she tags Juju and Tende Tony on Twitter. And then it starts blowing up from there. But yeah, no, this was not at all a preconceived thing. And then, yeah, after the game, Amin had no idea that this had happened at all. And his phone is already, I'm sure, blowing up.
Yeah.
So he comes over to say hi to Tarika and say hi to Christina. And then he introduces himself to me And we're also with my friend Grady. And Grady goes, before you say hi to Miles, like, you should probably check your phone real quick. And we watch him walk away and grab his phone. And I think it's about 30 seconds that he's standing on half court, basically all alone because everyone's kind of filing out at this point and just sitting there scrolling. And I'm like, should I leave? I don't know if I should be here in this scenario, in this situation. And he's just there and scrolling. And I'm very nervous about how this is all going to go down. And he comes back, and then he posts that reaction video that a bunch of people I'm sure saw after about his breakdown of how it all happened. But no, this was 100% legit, and I'm grateful to Amin for just how good-natured he was, because he pivoted quickly. He was over it. And I think he said on the show the other day, he was like, I was just happy with how my hair looked. That was his concern, the hair in the back. But no, he was really a good sport about all of it. And I ended up seeing him. We were at the same hotel, so I saw him later at the hotel bar, and he did not ignore me or say anything for the rest of the night. We chatted for a bit. So no, Amin is really great and very good-natured about something. I mean, it's like Chris Cody said, it's the Zion thing all over again. Like, there's no such thing about bad press, right? This went super viral, and at some point, there's nothing you can do but own it. And he got there a lot faster than I would have. I'll say that much. I would have taken a while longer.
I mean, it was well done taking the video. I think you made a lot of people happy this past weekend. And Amin is great at leaning into it. Whenever things like this happen, like, Amin is not someone who, avoids it. He leans right into it. His timeline was just littered with all the basketball names making fun of him and other comments. So it's provided a lot of funny content around it. So last question here. Jump shot madness is fading away, and now March Madness is coming in here. Do you have any dark horses for the men's or women's brackets that you can recommend?
So I'll say that I have probably seen about one half of basketball on the men's side this entire season. But because so much of this is basically scouting for the W season, I watch a lot of women's hoops. And South Carolina's the big favorite. They're undefeated. And there are lots of conversations about obviously Iowa with Caitlin Clark and LSU trying to run it back. But my favorite team to watch is Ohio State. They play a style of basketball that feels like what you think when you're going to be watching a really competitive college team. They press for 40 minutes and they're just all over the place, and they've got a bunch of shooters. A couple of players are going to be, in my opinion, they're going to be first round WNBA draft picks this year. So I think that Ohio State has everything that they can put it together for a deep run. They're a two seed, but I think that's still enough because the men and women's sides are different. In terms of the parity, normally you're seeing a lot of, like, you can see 3-1 seeds advance to the Final Four most years on the women's side. So I think a two seed winning is a bit of a dark horse. But I think that they match up the best with South Carolina, and that's really what the standard is. That's who they're trying to beat this year.
All right. Thank you very much, Miles. Do you have anything else on the way out that you would like to share or promote?
Sure. I mean, like I said at the top, my podcast, Pull Up with Miles and Owen, we've got these AU athletes on. This is the last week of AU that's happening, but we're going to have the champion on next week. So that'll be next Monday or Tuesday that'll drop. And that's probably going to be Alisha Gray, but it might be, could be Tosh Cloud, could be somebody else. But we're looking forward to that. And then, yeah, watch women's basketball. It's really on the up. And I've been covering the league since 2019, and from then to now, it's just been incredible to watch this leap. And it's because we're finally starting to tell and hear those stories. And I think that's what really captured people last year was that Angel versus Caitlin in the championship game. So I'm trying to do my part in helping to share those stories, but tune in and you're going to become a fan if you watch.
All right, thanks for joining us, Miles. And I'm definitely going to check out and see who ended up the champion in that league, because it sounds really cool from everything I've learned about it.
Thanks so much, David.